Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to assess your network, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how do I measure my network? How do I know if my network is good enough or not good enough?
Folks, we're always talking to you about the power and importance of your network. One way to improve the quality and quantity of your network is to attend our M conference October 9th and 10th in Dallas this year. Every single attendee will leave the conference with my cell phone number and Mike's cell phone number. So now if you have a problem or you have a question, you can just text me and you're going to get an answer back pretty quickly. In addition, we've set up an additional communication beyond just things I think or emails that'll come out every week about your professional success. And there will also be a distribution list so that the group can form its own community and its own network, and bonds and relationships can be strengthened that way. If you want to build your network, the M Conference is one way to do it. I hope to see you there.
So, Kate, in the first post of this, we created a table and we created an image which represented our relationships. If you didn't listen to that previous cast, this will make no sense to you. So we recommend you go back and listen to last week's before you listen to this week. But for everyone who's still with us, we have a radar chart that represents our relationships.
Mm-hmm. We're going to go back to the chart. We should see those two wonky stars that we were looking at before. Quantity has one, and inside it is the quality star. Just looking at the chart, you can see where you need to improve your network. Anywhere where quality and quantity are low. If you're looking at the chart and you see, you know, there's some places where we're close to the middle, those are our low numbers.
The middle of the chart, not the middle of that axis, right? Because we said the middle of the chart represents zero. So the closer you are to zero, the worse things are. So if we say if you're between zero and five, we're calling that a low score.
Okay. So keeping that in mind, if you're quantifying any scores below five as low and five and above is high, we can assess our outcome like this. Low quality and low quantity at one point is the worst outcome. You don't know many people, and the ones that you do, you don't know well. There might also be a place where you have high quantity but low quality. And this outcome means that you know a lot of people, but you don't interact with them very regularly. There could be high quality and low quantity, which means you know a few people and you have very good relationships with them. High quantity and high quality is our ideal outcome, and it's knowing lots of people very well. The only outcome, which means that you have no work to do, is high quantity, high quality. And we're going to talk now about how to improve your scores, because now that you've measured, we want to make sure that we are using our information to influence our behavior, and we're going to set some goals and work on our network.
And you might want to do this one at a time. So you might want to look at the internal dimension and think, okay, I've got two high score, or I've got a high score and a medium score there, but I have nothing in the external. And if you have no external contacts, when you get laid off or you want another job or you need help solving a problem that nobody else in your company seems to be able to solve, you're stuck because you don't know anybody outside your company. And one of the things that we tend to do is do the things we like doing or hang out with the people that are like us. So, you know, if you're a Java programmer and you go to meetup.com and look for, you know, a group that you could join so that you have more external contacts, don't choose Java programmers. Well, whilst you'll have a good time because they're all like you and they're all interested in the same thing as you, and you'll be very comfortable, you won't really learn as much that's new as if you went to a completely different group. If you met some people based on, you know, a hobby or geography or something else. Staying in our comfort zone, which all of us want to do, is something that we need to be aware of here. So don't, when you look at your eight dimensions, you've got eight choices of where to start. We'd recommend you start in the one that has the lowest scores, but that's not always easy. It's not always the right one to do right now. So you have a low number of scores in people who are more senior than you, but you know in 3 months' time, there's an all-hands meeting where the whole company gets together for a weekend and there'll be a bunch of senior people there. Well, you can put working on your network of senior people off until that meeting and do something else in the meantime. So when you weigh up which one you work on first, look at your scores, think about where you're comfortable, and then decide.
We're going to set a goal to improve our network. So we're going to look at our data, look at our spider chart, radar chart, star chart. We're calling it so many things. It's technically a radar chart.
According to Wikipedia, it's got like 10 names. So I think all of them are right.
Oh, so then we're set. All right. If you're looking at the chart and you knew and interacted with 10 different people on each dimension of your network, you'd have a pretty substantial and effective network. So look at each access in turn and based on the outcome, decide what you need to do. If you have both low quality and low quantity, begin by increasing the quality of your relationships and then make connection with new people. To really improve your network, the first step is to increase quality. So making new connections is hard. Making new friends is hard. I actually just read a book where the woman said that the biggest question that she gets all the time is, how do I make friends?
As an adult, right?
Yeah, as an adult. She said that the biggest question she gets from her community is, how do you make new friends? And I think so many people feel that way. And if you're listening to this, guys, just so you know, if you feel that way, I think everybody feels that way because making new connections is hard. And so I think maybe it might be helpful for people just because, you know, we're nervous to make new connections, but everybody feels that way. So we're going to focus on improving the quality where we have it. And we're also going to encourage you guys to, you know, think about it that way, that it is hard. It's hard for everybody. And so we're going to get there. And the first thing we're going to do is focus on the people we know well. So improving the value of our connections is first. And also it's easier.
Which is why companies try very hard to keep you as a customer, because acquiring new ones is much more expensive than giving you a discount to stay. You know, when you call your internet company and you're like, yeah, I'm leaving. And they say, we'll take $20 a month off the bill. And you think, wow, I wish I'd asked earlier. They take those $20 off because it costs them way more than $20 to acquire a new customer. And the same goes for relationships. It's way easier to increase the quality of a relationship you already have than make a new friend, which is, we've just said, is hard as adults. So we're going to start with the easy stuff again. And for those people that you assess that you have a low quality relationship with them, make a plan to connect with them in the next month. So it might be an email, but it's better if it's a phone call or coffee or lunch. The more substantial the connection, the more time that you have to talk, the more time you have to listen and find out things that are important to them. And one of the things about relationships is, as human beings, we measure relationships based on how much that person talks about things that matter to me. So if you come to my house and you start talking about video games, I'm not going to think we're very good friends because I have no idea anything about video games. If you come and pet my cat, I will be best friends with you because he matters to me.
And I think he's pretty picky, so that
he
would be
is very picky. If he liked you, that would be it. I wouldn't need any other measure.
People want to talk about the stuff that's important to them.
Yeah, people want to tell you about their vacation, about their job, about their boss, about, you know, that really annoying colleague they have.
The good news is that's the first thing they'll start with.
That's true.
After the, you know, the small talk about the weather and how have you been and the kind of baseline conversation about status, the next thing they pick is probably something pretty important to them. So you got a really good measure there about what they value and what they want to talk about.
And if you've got a lot of people, you might need to spread it over several months. You can't have lunch like 20 days a week if you've got 20 days a month. If you've got 20 people to see, that might be a bit difficult. So you might want to spread them out a little bit. So make a plan that's realistic, but don't let yourself off and say, oh, I'm only going to do one person per month, because that's too easy.
We're checking in on this quarterly, so you have a little bit of time. You don't have to think about this happening next week. Keep in mind, guys, we're measuring, and of course, sometimes when you measure, you start to believe that there's urgency because now you're aware, which happens to me all the time. I made a plan for something today, and I thought, oh, I'm going to action this plan, and then I thought, well, maybe I should socialize it and get some feedback and things before, you know, you have some time here. This isn't super urgent just because you're looking at it. I know it feels that way. Keep in mind, though, that we're going to check on this quarterly and occasionally. So you do have some time. So spread it out. Be deliberate about it.
Until now, you've had the success you've had with the network you have. So to some extent, it's fine. You're fine wherever you are. And like you say, you don't need to rush. Just work steadily and deliberately. And if you reach out to someone and you don't get a reply, just strike that person off the chart of people you know. You can try again to contact them. You can, you know, keep them on your email list. You can send them interesting things that you see, all the ways that we say you can keep a relationship with someone. But if they're not responding to you, that's not a meaningful interaction. If I email someone I don't know or I haven't seen for a while and I say, hey, it'd be really good to catch up, and they don't reply, I might send them something else in a couple of months, but I also wouldn't count them amongst my friends or contacts or relationships.
Do you live in Toronto, Ontario, and want to attend a Manager Tools conference in the next 6 to 9 months? Well, don't miss your chance. September 11th and 12th, we'll be there with our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conference events, and we won't be back until late 2020. It'll be over a year between events in your city, so don't miss out. Register today at manager-tools.com/training.
So once we've got quality, now we're going to do quantity.
Once you've connected monthly with everyone you listed on your charts, you still might not have a good showing on a particular dimension. Look at your chart again. And if you started with 3 people in your industry, like on that dimension on the chart, and you're now interacting with them regularly, ideally, you need to now add 2 new people to the roster to get to the 5 that represents your high score there. And there's a lot of ways to meet new people. One of the easiest would just be to ask people you already know if they recommend anyone that you could meet or that you should meet. Do they have a contact in their network who has similar interest to you or is working on something that you are working on? One of the things that I find helpful when I'm trying to increase my network is other people who read a lot, because there's so many books out there in the world, and the other people who read have really interesting book ideas so that you don't have to read the same stuff over and over again. Or someone just in your area too.
Right. There's book groups for every kind of book. Depending on where you live, the bigger the city, the better chance you have of finding people. But book groups are not just for girls. There is a business book reading club in my city. I live in San Antonio, which is a reasonably sized city. So I'm lucky, but there's probably something that you are interested in doing. And it doesn't need to be something work-related. It can be like a hobby or something you're interested in, like you're interested in books. One of the things that often gets recommended around public speaking is Toastmasters, which I love because I'm a member. But one of the things I love about it is you could do it every day of the week, twice a day. There are things going on all of the time in Toastmasters. There's groups meeting, there's different things going on, there's competitions, there's all sorts of things going on. So if you find something like that, Rotary is the same, church groups are often the same, where there's lots of things going on, that helps, because one of those things might be something that's interesting to you. If you find a group that only meets once a month or once every other month, building the relationships with the people is harder. If you're doing something that's regular and short note, like church is every week or Toastmasters is every week, then you build the relationships more easily.
Mm-hmm. And asking the people around you is probably a little easier. It feels a little easier. And it could be your meaningful interaction.
Right. And people love it, right? Can you give me some advice? Oh, people love to give you advice.
So true.
You know,
I'm
looking to meet more people in our industry. Have you got any advice? Or I'm looking to meet more people who are in similar companies in our town. Got any advice? People will love to give you advice.
Do you know anyone who's really great to chat with? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, they'd be really excited.
That's your meaningful interaction, because you just ask them something they're interested in, which is giving you advice, because everybody's interested in giving other people advice. That's how the world works.
Mm-hmm. We're going to review this occasionally. So now we've done the work, we've looked at our chart, and now we're going to check in every once in a while, right? Again, we don't want it to stagnate. We don't want entropy to work against us. And obviously measuring our network once and setting the goal is only part of the success around these numbers. We have to do the work. We have to measure again to see if we're meeting the goal. So we recommend that you measure every quarter or each quarter, it doesn't have to be every quarter, to see if you're getting closer or further away from having 10 connections on each axis.
Like you said, entropy happens. So if it's a project you do right now and then you don't think about it for 6 months, the likelihood of you making good progress is zero. And I just had another idea, because it's July the 11th as we record this. So Thanksgiving and Christmas are coming up. And two really good reasons for contacting people you haven't been in contact with for a while are holidays. I was at my family and I thought of you because whatever, or I just wanted to reach out and send you a Christmas card or send someone a Christmas card or a holiday card, whatever you're celebrating. Celebrations and holidays are really good days to reach out. And so if there's some people that you feel a little bit uncomfortable because it's been a while, you might want to leave those until there's a holiday, because a holiday is a reason for reaching out that people don't put any judgment on if you're worried about being judged. One of the things that I sometimes think is that a lot of us see people who are successful and they know people because they're high eyes and they like other people in the DISC terminology. And so they have relationships with people which they do naturally. And there's others of us who don't do relationships naturally, who don't necessarily think of people first. And we wonder, how do they do it? And this is a way of making a plan. It's a way of seeing what your network's like and then being able to address the elements, the places where your network isn't quite so good, and being able to direct your efforts. So this is something that those people do naturally. And we all know that we can all learn anything. If anybody's done something before you, it can be done again. If somebody climbed Everest, somebody else can do it. If those people, those people are doing naturally, you can learn to do. And in this guidance, hopefully, we've given you something that will allow you to visualize and then steps to improve your network. And then you can be one of those people, even if it doesn't come naturally to you.
Network building is so important, and we want to help you guys get good at it. And that's hopefully what we've done here. And it's hard to know if you're doing well if you don't measure. Now that you have a measure, hopefully you can improve.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another topic.